Okay, I'm gonna call a meeting to order, if you can roll call.
Randy Zimmer.
Juan Cabrera.
Tony.
Gary.
Mark.
All right, now we'll do the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the consent agenda is next, and I have a few additions and deletions. Under purchasing and personnel, we'd like to talk about having a lawyer look at our employee handbook. He's finally gotten back to us, and I guess we'll have that conversation when we get to it. I'd like to remove the draw request from the park. Under parks, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, we're gonna take that out because we're not ready to make a draw request yet. I think that was it. Good. Jesse?
I have a couple purchasings that, can I add to that?
Okay.
To the fire?
Yeah. Please.
Jesse.
And then it was the removal of the March 11th minutes.
Oh, yeah, and then we need to remove the March 11th minutes. We need to get those squared away a little better, I think.
And we okay. Just need a motion and a second.
With that, I need a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda with the deletions and the additions as stated by the mayor.
I second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, we're going to go right to new business then.
No, open forum.
Open forum, I'm sorry. Anybody have anything to say? All right. Then we go to new business.
Consent agenda.
Consent agenda. I'll give her later. All right, so we're on the consent agenda, and again, I need a motion.
Hold that thought for just a minute. I had a question. On the cash control checking investments, page 32. Under the fire department, you've got two categories, capital fire fund with $10,000, and then you've got the fire truck loan account. Are those both one account?
Mm-mm.
What is?
The capital fire equipment is any capital purchases that you make, capital equipment. So you've got $10,000 stashed away there.
Okay.
And then your loan is, that's separate.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
It's still got several years to it. And then 50 Lakes, the Lake Improvement Fund.
Mm-hmm.
That ATHOT, do we get the receipts for that? Is that DNR money that came in for?
It comes from the county.
That's county money.
Yep.
Coming for, that's for paying the gas.
Yes.
Okay. Two things that caught my
No, good question.
On that note, I make a motion we pass the consent agenda minus the with the last month's agenda.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mr. Lepper.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Now we go to new business. Rush it here. Okay, we have a CD that we need to redo on page 3233. And it is a liquor store CD that we have coming due.
On that, Emily, do you need money coming? Do you foresee needing money, Emily? Do you foresee any major expenditures in the next, when's the next one due?
Depends how long.
July?
Yeah.
Next one is July.
I didn't go over this with her, so I apologize. You have a CD that Bar does for $21,000, that's due April 13th. Typically, it's a rollover. You have another CD for $50,000. And then in your checking right now, you have $80,000. So I would venture to guess you're not going to need it.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is the venting system, if that has anything to do with that.
I think we're kind of covered under a grant on that.
We do have $6,500 allocated from a grant for that.
Yeah, I don't foresee anything.
And looking at their checkbook, they're pretty healthy at the moment.
What about the walk-in cooler, the big cooler for the off-sale cooler? How is that doing? Does that still need fixing, replacing?
We've got, do we have bids on that?
No.
Where is it? And, you know, are you sure it's not the doors? Is that the...
I think that's something, that part of that we...
Because that's been, I remember that going back to when we built this place.
It was day one. Somebody screwed that up and everybody passed the blame, but it's not right.
Yeah.
We have heated doors. We did not get the cheapest. We have heated doors. They were not supposed to ever do that.
Are those heated?
Yeah. So is there a warranty on them or where? Who installed that?
Well, that was 20 years ago.
Go back to them.
Yeah.
I'd like to look
at them. We've been back to them several times. They pass the buck. Everybody passes it.
That's what Ed keeps telling me. He says, he goes, and Carl will tell us the same thing. He said the same thing when we walked in. It's your doors.
Right.
Now you're telling me there were supposed to be heated doors. I thought Steve had just bought whatever.
There's switches up there. The guy showed it to me when I worked here.
Did Diana use them?
Amazon.
Nobody shuts them off.
The way they were shutting them off.
How is there heated doors for cooler doors? How are cooler doors heated doors?
They have a wire or something in there that keeps them so that they don't get condensation on them.
Are there switches? Is there something we could look into getting repaired? If it's, or where are these?
Well, switches? I think Cross Lake Sheet Metal was in. They had recommendations. We're waiting for them to get back to us, correct?
Right. Well, they said doors.
Yes.
You know, we have the other guy say, let's put a dehumidifier system in there.
So it's in limbo.
Like Ed said, that was engineered to begin with, and it was the door we bought. He claims, or Carl told him, that we bought the cheapest doors they had.
That's what Carl told him.
It wasn't us, though. It was Rice Construction.
Right, but we did buy heated doors. I know that.
Yeah. They've never worked right.
Tom, I have heated doors and all. I've got two walk-in coolers and a walk-in freezer at the scout camp, and if they're not wired... I mean, you can have the switches on, but if they were never wired into a panel box, they're never going to work. So I would say, let's look and see if they're even wired to the panel. Because if they're not getting power, they're not going to heat. And you absolutely have to have those working to prevent condensation, because that's, I deal with that all the time.
And quite possibly that got skipped. I don't know. I really don't know.
Is there a light or anything that's supposed to come on? Maybe they've never worked.
Maybe it's a good job for the new supervisor.
I think it's something we need to dig into a little bit, because I've done those numerous different things, and what Tom says makes a lot of sense. I was told by Carl that we got the cheapest ones in. I'm told by Tony that that's not the case. So.
I think we should go back to our CD renewal, though.
All right. Okay.
But that's where I was going. That's how we got down here. We need money. So,
this question gets asked again in July, right?
Yes.
There's another one.
So that's going to come up fast. I say we investigate and get maintenance or somebody that's a specialist with that and try to find out. If they're wired correctly.
10 months. So if you're only 7 months, that puts us into October. So if there's any winter projects we want to tackle at that point.
You know, I'm like,
maybe she wants to donate it to the park.
Right now the park checkbook looks pretty healthy.
Okay.
If we're gonna put this in a CD, I was looking at that. One at First Western for a 12-month or that 25-month from Riverwood at 4% on that. Those are the two that kind of jumped at me.
If there's any renovations, I'll probably have, well, I'm sure that money coming in all summer. I'm just saying 12 months is getting out there, but yeah, I guess I would.
Well, we've got another liquor store one that's sitting at 50 right now that's coming in July, and their checkbook right now
is. If we put that one off 5 months or 6 months, that puts us July, you know, you're in the next 2026. I'm just staggering the forward as far as when she's got these money available.
So that First National, was that a 6 month, 12 month, maybe missing
month? First National was a 7 month, actually.
Seven.
First Western was a 6 month and a 12 month. Those are the three most appealing.
Yeah, my only opinion on that Riverwood one at 25 months, I think, I'm just guessing and giving my opinion that I think the interest rates may drop where, you know, I was kind of looking at how things were in the last couple of years, and even right here we can see a downward trend. The year before, we were getting Summit 5.25 and stuff like that. So it's kind of been riding a little downward trend. I don't know in a year if we'd be able to get 4% or not. It's kind of a shake of the dice.
So I guess I tend to agree with you that 4.25 out of a year is probably the.
I think I like that.
Would be the best bang for the buck.
Yeah.
And I'll get that on loan. That requires a motion, right? I make a motion going First Western at 12 months.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. All right, and then just kind of a notice that we've got a special election coming up on April 15th and on April 29th for the position that came open here recently in the state. Let's see, approval of the 2024 audit as presented at the March 11th council meeting. We did not approve that, so I need a...
I make a motion to approve the 2024 audit as presented on March 11th.
I second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right, now we've got a request to waive after the fact fee for Samantha Barber at 39823 Buhite Road. This was discussed at the last phone meeting. This was something that she did not do. I think we figured that it happened two owners ago, that there was a non-conforming structure, and she has agreed to make it all right. And the after the fact fee was $1,000, and it was not done by her or even the previous owner. Yeah, so they're just asking, the zoning committee has already okayed it, that they're good with waiving that after the fact fee, and it's to us to vote on that. So any discussion on that? Or
I just think she's going to make it right, and I think she didn't make the problem in the beginning. I don't think we should fine her.
I agree.
It
was not her.
I read through these 6 pages and said, well, this is an over.
Right.
I'm not going to charge her. You got all the looks.
Who knows? And how she's going to make it right and conforming, so.
So, and where was she going to make it? How far back did she have to move that?
Right there is.
Oh, this is where.
Yeah, she's got to be pointing off the over the water, over the OHW.
High water, yeah.
High water. She's got to be 20 feet back from that and 10 feet off the property line.
Where is this? It didn't show.
I'm not sure exactly where it was. I think it was getting right down.
Oh, like 11 feet, 10 feet.
Okay.
Okay, so then
And then it also sits on a deck that is too large. I think they're allowed 120 square feet. Right now she's got 110 square feet, but the deck that it sits on was, I read it, it was larger than the...
I saw that.
Yeah, 13, but... So that has to also be shrunk down. So, if we have...
Tony, you want to make that motion?
Yeah, I'd like a motion.
Yep, as soon as I get back to that page.
I'll make a motion to waive the after-the-fact fee for Samantha Barber at 39823 Buhite Road.
Actually, that's wrong, and that's what threw me off thinking of this place, because it's actually Buhite Lane.
Oh, yeah.
So it does show that on this. Somebody keeps coming to Buhite Road.
It is Lane, yeah, you're right, correct.
Maybe we need to correct that in a minute. So we have a motion. Can I get a second? We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, planning and zoning, that's one. I think we've kind of talked a whole bit of it already.
No, will that be tonight?
No.
Can you always deal with the same person?
So, yeah.
This is that same variance.
Same variance, that's what a lot of it has to do with, so I feel we've covered a lot of it already. Yeah, so everything on the planning and zoning pretty much we've already covered. Then there's just they approved a variance up on the end of North Eagle Lake Road where Greg and Kellyan Schmidt, that really they've already approved that, so that has not much to do with us. So I think with that, we'll move on to Tony.
Okay, parks. Well, we had Steve and Kevin out from, Steve is from the Splash Pad. We also had Dwayne, I don't remember his last name, he's going to do the cement for the sidewalk. So they were all out yesterday. Everybody has a copy of the plan. The small plan is the correct copy with the ramp coming off of the post Splash Pad into the playground. And that has to be that way. It's ADA. So it has to be that way.
So one of the things that I was at that meeting yesterday that kept coming up, is it written into the grant 1,200 square feet of concrete sidewalk over and above the splash pad?
I have to go get my...
I don't know if that was in the grant or just between the contractors there. That was kind of the feeling I had gotten was just to have a figure for the guy to bid the amount. It was 1,200
square feet
of sidewalks. I think that was just a figure, like I spoke with the one fella and he said whether you go more or less, we'll make, you know, just, it'll work out.
We'll adjust it accordingly. One of the other things was moving the pickleball courts up so they butted back to back. Did you talk to anybody about the back fence or anything?
She never got back to me, but then reading into things, you know, from the past, and the contract is deviation from this. It's gonna be a setback.
Is that small deviation?
Well, not when you're talking anything ADA.
I'm not sure, but you know what we spoke about yesterday. We were moving,
but we changed everything when we put the gates on these sides. See, now we have no access to this side of the gate without walking through gravel or something.
Right, but you know.
We could put a path, gravel path there or something from them block.
That'd be a decent spot for pavers.
And if we slid these, we could save a lot of money. If we slid these back to back, I put white marks on, white spots out there to show everybody. And it, because this, none of these were ever made to dimensions. There isn't a this is big, this is this big, this is this big, anywhere on any of these maps. That's, we fought this when we did the first pickleball course, because we had to have the 20-foot setback, and the first drawings we had, it's like, oh, also we ended up right next to the playground. They ended up getting moved over from the, not even these prints, the ones prior to them.
But when he did this, he did it on GIS, and he is 20 feet back on the pickleball court.
This one is, no, this one.
This one is, yes.
But the original one that we're looking at, it did, and...
No, he did do everything per setback. Same thing with the drain field from the property line.
If you walk out there and look at how the trees are, the septic system would fit in better if we...
You know,
we're going to have gates here and...
The thing is, Mark, I agree with you 100%. If we could move this stuff around a little bit better, I think it would be to our advantage. But in doing that, I'm very worried about what the grant people are going to say if we set that in, and I think we're a little bit stuck with that. Now, if Ann would like to follow up with the person and ask them, but I think that we better, until we get an answer or whatever, I feel that we can't really deviate greatly. You know, the suggestions we've made are backing us up and moving sidewalks around. We are changing a fair amount of things.
But they make a lot more sense.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you, but...
That's why things get made stupid, because nobody steps up. I would almost stop this project at this point if we're not... It doesn't make sense. It saves a lot of money, and... Moving that pavilion to this location, we all stood there and said, this makes a lot more sense to have this covered area right here in the
but
middle.
But in stopping this, we may lose that grant, and then we're on the hook for... Right. The entire thing, and that's what I want to prevent.
And we've already got equipment here, equipment coming.
Yeah, we've got a lot of stuff set up.
Well, this, you know, I'm sorry, but this has been in front of us multiple times.
But until you go out there and put it in place.
Well, and see,
you can look at this.
We did. I don't remember who was with me. We did, and. I just want you to know that shade is specifically for pickleball. It was never meant.
Why can't it be multiple use?
Because our intention, if I went back, we had a shade over on the other side. Tony, do you remember that? They had two shades.
Shade on the other side.
But we, because of costs, we took it out.
Right. Those trees get going over there. That would be some nice shade. They need to get some proper water during the season, summer season and stuff, but they're going to be nice shade trees before very long.
You know, we could ask the question if we can change these things, but if the answer is no, I don't think we should abandon the project.
Oh my God, no.
You know,
I totally abandon it. I really...
Well, I know where you're coming from, but the thing is our hands are tied. This is how we submitted it. This is what they okayed. And from a lot of the things I've heard is, you start moving things around, they're not going to be okay with that. That's my understanding. You know, we could plead our case that, boy, it sure looks a lot better like this, but, boy, we're starting to poke the bear a little bit on things.
There should be somebody that... We can phone that and ask if that could be changed.
And Anna's got to call into that.
We need to wait for the answer then to see what they say before.
We can, like I say, we can pursue that, but I think we need to be prepared that they might not move on us. And, you know, I don't know what to say.
Or maybe they'll move on if you don't touch the ADA. That is one of their top criteria.
Right.
So if we don't mess with the ADA and you want to butt up the pickleballs, they might go ahead with that.
If they're fine with that, I'm in total agreement, because I do.
I don't know if I am, though, and I'd like to run it by the park committee, too.
Well, yeah, and I think that should be done. But, you know, there are things that make more sense there, but can we? That's what it really boils down to.
Yeah, it's really hard right now, especially with the grant writer and in all the work she did to get us the grant, and then all the work that they did when they go through the grant, you know, and all of our paper, and then we got approved for this, we start changing things. We need to ask, but if there's any repercussions for moving things, I say we leave things alone.
It's been
in the works for 3 years, 4 years?
Mm-hmm. I had never gone out there and really looked at it as far as where these are sitting until 24 hours. I've been invited, I've never had time. When I walk out there and look at it, you can't tell me that shade area, that the way I laid it out yesterday and put paint marks on the ground, makes a lot more sense.
Well,
dollar for dollar, you're using less material. Because also you're looking at elevation drop of probably 10 to 12 inches, but that's going to have to be built up to get this court in place.
And we had talked one time about butting the courts up against each other, but why did we change back?
I don't recall. I think it was because of the shade. We wanted the shade in between. And it was probably park committee. You know, we've got one lady that's an avid pickleball player. And I think that shade is very important. And it just kind of made sense to have it in between the two. So, can certainly have everybody go visit.
We're also looking at swapping a fence around so we move that gate over there, too. Mm-hmm. Which if you hit it over the fence, now you're going to run all the way around instead of just out
here. I think we need to find out what we can do and then have that discussion, because right now we're speculating.
Did they say yes, if they say no?
Yeah, it's right now we don't know what we're doing, so.
Well, we need to move forward on this faster than we thought, because this is also, they want to be here like in 2 weeks.
And I'm meeting with the well driller over there tomorrow at noon, just so in case anybody cares. So, but yeah, and right now I can agree that there are layouts that would work better, but I think we need to check, see if we can change anything. If not, this is still going to be a beautiful park.
Oh, there's no doubt. It's going to be beautiful either way, of course.
So I think Ann's got to call in, and when we hear back, then we can make a better decision.
Okay.
Okay.
Second on the list was pickleball court rentals.
I haven't had a chance to review others, but just, we've had a couple requests now. How does council feel about that?
I don't know.
Reserved or rentals?
To rent it, then it would be closed to the public.
Closed to the public. And
For what?
A private event.
Oh, so like if you're going to rent the pavilion and have a family reunion or a birthday party or?
Well, we have a local 501c3 that wondered if on a Saturday morning they could rent it.
Well, with that being said, would that then maybe
it's FLOPA
get into leagues and stuff, so it would be, we would want to be able to reserve it?
And do we want to get into that? I mean, do we want to do that, manage that, and do all that? Or I don't know, do you start a group and then they manage it, you know? No.
Do you see how many people pay over there on Saturdays? Because I do. When I used to be in the bar, a lot of people. So if you're going to call those regular people coming in on Saturdays to rent it out to somebody else, what are you going to say?
Yeah. And that's, I guess I just want to know if you want me to even pursue it or just leave it.
What's Cross Lake doing?
They actually have it closed at, I think it's the morning times, because that's just for league.
Okay.
I can't just stop there and play.
They're shut down for what, 2 hours every day then?
I think something like that. But then it's more management. I mean, then we have more time in it managing what's going on.
That's true too. And also, but the league thing would be a set days or whatever and times. Mm-hmm. People get used to that. But if we're going to do rentals, okay, so how do I know that, you know, next Saturday my friends are coming? We go play pickleball at 50. We get there and it's closed because they're having a party night. How would I know that or whatever?
You're going to need to ask somebody that team only specifically, because mm-hmm. otherwise you're going to have who's going to be running that?
I guess at this point in time, I'm not too excited about doing.
Okay, that's all I needed to know.
We
if you're all in agreement.
At a later time, if we care to. One solution to that would be is if we did have two courts, maybe one we would have a rental on. But at this point, there again,
first come, first serve.
I think well, so.
What's the deal with your avid pickleball players would know, because we ran into it. I played one time last summer, and the people that came in behind us, we started like 7 in the morning. But at 8 o'clock, some folks came in and said, we've reserved the court. It's on this app right here.
No, they're joshing you. It's not reserved. It is called Pickle...
Scheduler.
Yeah.
It's a scheduler.
It's just a schedule. It says right on there, this is not a reservation.
And actually what it is say I know I'm going to go play there at 8 o'clock on Saturday, so I might just put my name in there Saturday at 8 o'clock. And so my friends are going through, I'm going to play pickleball, I wonder who's playing. Tony's playing here, well, I'm going to play with her. So then they would come back to, I want to play with her, or whatever. That's what that is.
It's as much to get groups together as it is.
Pardon?
It's as much to get groups together
yes.
as it is.
Yeah, so people know when other people are playing.
But it is not a reservation system.
No. And that doesn't mean I get to play at 8 o'clock either. So I get here, you know, at 8 o'clock and there's people playing. I forget, there's a courtesy thing, you can only play whatever, but then I have to wait my just because I said I was going to be there at 8 o'clock, I'm in there at 8 o'clock, but I did not necessarily get to play at 8.
Well, and that's what the paddle holders are for. You put your paddle in and then you're up next.
Yep.
So were those made too big? Is that why those paddles fell through?
I think the
Well, it doesn't work?
It does, you just have to put it in there just right, or they'll fall.
If you put it off just a little bit and fall through.
Yeah, they need painting too, but
they do.
They need what?
Painting. Well, it's
it's just PVC.
Yeah, it's PVC pipe. And so it's spray painted and so of course all the paint's coming off. So that'll be painted well once
you get it. Yeah, well you put it on you to punch it.
They make a plastic PVC paint that lasts for a year.
It's not huge. It looks nice when it's painted, so it's not huge.
All right, I think that's it for parts. All right, we move on to Randy with Fire and Rescue.
Fire Jesse.
And Jesse.
Jesse, take the reins.
Well, we got a couple things today that came up today with a couple people for some purchasing things. I apologize for my lack of preparation there for getting this over to you. A couple things I thought of, we got baseball going on with Leo now too, so I just barely made it here. So I'll start with some of the purchasing things there. I talked to the guy today because he brought the pagers that we purchased. And so we have them, and he was quoting me on some radios and everything too. But it doesn't seem like they're up to go to get new radios at all. So we're kind of gearing towards going, just keeping the old radios and just keeping them going because they work just fine. There's nothing wrong with them. They still work on the system. And it's like $2,300 for a new one radio. And it doesn't make any sense to get new ones because these ones work just fine.
What year did we get those radios?
I think he was saying like 2012.
So they're only 12 years old.
Yeah. And so he said the best course, because right now some of the radios don't work, and it's the batteries that don't work. So I got a quote from him for 6 batteries. They're about $160 a piece. But we've had these batteries since 2012. So they last like 15 years.
Pretty good life.
So I was looking for six batteries. If we could get six batteries and we could get a couple more of the radios back up and running, we got a couple just sitting there that are kind of dead. They don't really.
What are they, 180 apiece?
160, I think he's like.
He's got a quote here for six of them, and that's 957. That's for six batteries.
Who's that through?
That Brandon Communications.
Okay.
The same guy we got the pager through. And actually, when we went over those pager quotes, they were running a special on it when he gave me the quote. So the price was actually higher, but he honored it. And I said, well, you were like $85 apart from the other guy. So I was glad he did, because he wouldn't have got it otherwise. So he gave us a breakdown on that when he gave us those pagers too. So that's for the batteries. And that seems like the best route to go for radios and everything. It just seems.
What have we got? We've only got 12 or 14 total.
Yeah, I think 12 of them, I think. And he said the other departments are in the same boat, you know, trying to switch over. Motorola's are twice the price. You're paying for the name, it seems like. And he's got Kenwoods, and they're a lot cheaper, but they're still $2,300 for one. I'm hoping that down the road, similar to what happened when we got these radios, that everybody in the county's going to need them, and the county's going to go get a grant. And just like we did last time when we got the radios, we got a big grant, and they got a whole shipment in. Instead of trying to purchase them with our own money, let's get a grant through the county. That's what I'm hoping is going to happen when it comes down the pipe. So this is the best solution for now, I guess, for the batteries and everything. We do have three firefighters that went through Firefighter 1, Firefighter 2, and Hazmat. They all passed it. And I know in our bylaws it says once they go through the class and they pass it, that they can get turnout gear now too. So I had a turnout gear quote from, this was back in January, and so the prices went up a little bit. But for three pairs of gear, it was like $12,400. And the only other purchase thing I had was, I talked to our representative from Great Plains on the phone today for some wildland backpacks. We have about four of them that are functioning over there for wildfires. And he said they're about $300 a piece for a backpack. Half a dozen might do us. Good for a while. But I can get an actual quote from him too. I just wanted to maybe get an okay that if he comes back with a quote, so I'm gonna have to wait until May to get some backpacks coming here, and then it's getting pretty dry out there right now already. So that was it for my purchasing request. Beyond that, we had six medicals last month. We had one fire call last month. And tomorrow we're going to do a live burn trailer down here in our training. So I think some people are going to be pretty excited about that. And some of the new members too, to kind of show them.
That's 6 or 7?
What was that? 6 o'clock. We're going to go a little earlier tomorrow. Try to stay with the daylight. Well, that's about all I got, unless you guys have any questions for me. So
we have $26,000 in the balance.
let's see.
Almost $15,000 in expenses.
Well, they do have the money, and they need radios, and the new people can't go to a fire until they get their turnout gear and their equipment. They spend all that time at school.
They spend a ton of time now. And their jobs, and their kids. Twice a week, once a weekend, I mean, it's a ton of hours, man. They did it though, man. They were tired of walking the little one, and they would show up and drop her off and pick her up, and they were like zombies.
So between, yeah, your balance is 26, and then your capital fire equipment fund is 10,000. Because we budgeted 20,500 for capital outlay. I mean, you've got it. It just, do you think you're getting close to the end on big purchases this year?
I think so. I know we have more grants coming up in the fall, more like August.
Okay.
And we've been trying for this wildland fire one for this is the third round we've been trying for. So we're hoping for it. That's a pretty big purchase there, but it'd be nice to have all that, but it's not a necessity we really, really need right now.
Okay.
Because it's the works that we have, but it'd be nice for everybody to have some of that wildland gear. That's why I put it into the grant. But this stuff I would put higher on the list, and I don't know about big purchases really. I can't see anything really. Turnout gear is going to be the biggest thing every year, just because of the OSHA standards.
But then, are we done with turnout for this year?
Would be for this year, yeah.
Okay. I'm just worried about your monies.
Well, the money that we budgeted for them, when does that come in?
Oh, we'll get more payments, yeah, from the tax levy. Yeah, okay. Yep.
57, actually.
But, I mean, I feel like if you guys are comfortable with that.
What do we have for a total on all this stuff?
Those three things is 15,157.
That turnout gear quote is from January, end of January.
So it might be a little higher.
Is that something that you'd like them to do tonight, then? To approve?
The turnout gear would be nice, and the
batteries.
I guess all of
that. Yeah, right. Okay. Equipment to do the right thing. Right. You don't have any. We don't have the equipment.
Right. We've got to protect our people.
Yeah. I would like to do
their hours in.
Because then that's fine. But then I would love it. Then I'll sit once this is taken care of, and then go through your monies, and so you have a clear picture of what more.
Okay.
You've got to work with, because it might not be much per the budget. So
we can always get more stuff at this point, because you said it might be a little bit higher. I'd like to make a motion that we okay $15,500 for expenses.
You think it may go higher than
that? Should we go
16?
I go even 17 just to make sure they get it.
Yep.
If there's money left, there's money left.
Right.
All right.
Just to make sure.
I'd like to make a motion to resend that. Make a motion to spend to okay $17,000 for the fire department by 6 batteries, 3 sets of turnout gear, and 6 backpacks.
I second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I would then need just copies of all that. Okay, thank you.
And one of that, I can get you the...
Or I just email whatever. Just so I have it for the council packet for the auditor.
Perfect. Thank you, council, very much. The firefighters will be happy to hear that tomorrow, too.
Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you.
Okay, that brings us to Mark with road construction and maintenance.
Okay, community center boiler went out. We're waiting for bids still, or did they make
a... We have one yet to get, I believe.
We're waiting to hear on the boiler. The other thing I don't think we're going to talk about a little bit, we'll go first thing first now, is replacement of our supervisor.
Oh, yeah.
That's under purchasing and personnel, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be
tomorrow. Yeah, I guess we're really not ready for the boiler at this point.
It was repaired and it's working.
The electric heater's going.
We've got 4 Melcalc heaters in there at this time.
Okay. It was $3,500 to get it repaired. It's 19, what year is that building? 72?
77.
Yeah. Hadn't cost us any money until now. And that's why part of me says we should spend $3,500 because probably you can't buy that quality anymore either. But on the same note, I think I heard a rough estimate of about $8,000 to replace it, which they said they would condense everything and actually make it on that. You've been in that closet. They would put everything, it'd be the new boiler, and you know which that boiler takes up a third of that closet. Well, the new one would take up,
it's 7 on the wall.
A little bit bigger than that, and it'd be on the wall. So it'd free up some space in there, not that we should be storing a lot of crap that is in there, probably shouldn't be, but it is what it is. So moving forward, I see us getting a new boiler for next year. Because it's going to be a while before we decide what we're going to do with that building. And we're just now getting into the name forming the committee that's coming up here in a little bit and deciding which way we're going to go with that.
That's good.
In the meantime, we get a new boiler and hopefully it's so good we can be transferred into a new building.
Okay.
No way for this still. But I'm going to know. Can we get it, if they come up with a repair, do we have to wait till it's okay next month, or can we just tell them to go ahead, or do we just...
I think we're kind of feeling just for a new, just full of new one, don't even repair it.
No, I would need to come back to council.
So do we want to... What is the budget, our building budget right now? Do we have money in there? Can we just okay that we
You need the bids. No. You need the bids.
And I was going to say, it's hopefully going to be so we don't need heat in there before very
right.
long.
We really won't need it until next
so
fall.
So we don't have to jump on it, but you know, we'll have time to get some bids and do it right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in there the other day and that Melcalc heaters were keeping it pretty nice in there. So.
Until we get the electric bill.
Yeah. I've gone down that road. It jumps.
How much are going to cost and fall?
Well,
because the price are going to keep going up. Nothing is going to go down. So, what's going to be the difference in prices from now to fall?
I think it'll go sooner than later. We just got to get the rest of our bids in.
Okay.
But we can look at it next month. Here.
Also, going down the story of roads and maintenance is. County Road 1 over here is going to go off. That's going to be the first one to go. They've actually got a completion date, putting lines on it by May 23rd.
Mm. Wow.
It's going to happen pretty fast. I don't know how they're going to make that May 23rd, but...
So it'll be all done for Memorial Weekend?
They've got a bunch of turn lanes. Yeah, that's the Friday prior to Memorial Day.
Wow.
It's progress. They said they're going to be, that's a day scheduled to have it striped the last time. We should.
That'd be nice.
All right, when we come into the liquor store, that's me. Staff report and planning, And I think that's going to kind of go to Emily.
Do you have those? Notes on the variance
Jess
was explaining.
If you can understand
them. If I may.
If you can understand them.
Okay. So I'm supposed to talk about variance. To start with,
or if you have a staff report, anything you want to report.
Oh, okay.
Maybe like you had a staff meeting today.
Staff meeting today went very well. That was good. I feel like things are going smoothly, and you know, finding ways to communicate to my staff, you know, certain things that they need to know. I make sure that, you know, I post that information, and trying to educate them on things that they may not know, you know, just as far as like bar course and stuff like that, and also with the food. And passed, I got my certificate, so yay me. But things are going well. I don't have anything crucial that I can think of that I needed to bring up or discuss.
And then the P&L.
Yeah, so the P&L looks better than it was. I'm looking at that last column, right? So this is still kind of like German to me, so I'm still trying to get used to this. I apologize with the numbers and stuff. Anne does a good job of going over it with me and explaining. But we did have a lot of staff training in March, which, to be honest, I don't know what numbers I'm supposed to be looking at.
It's okay. Right? So okay. Last year, March, we were in the red 8,000. This year, we're in the red 3,300. Your receipts are up, which is good, you know, but there was some expenses too. Your inventory is down considerable, which is good. So it's just a matter of and keep continually moving it.
I feel like I kind of came in sort of like a reset with the whole business. So obviously, you know, just seeing things continually improve, I feel like is a goal.
And then on the agenda, did you have an agenda?
Yeah.
Okay, because then it's the back page. Then it's approval.
So. Yeah, okay, so approval of hiring Patty Miller as a part-time bartender. You know, it sounds like maybe twice a month we'll use Patty and here and there for events. I think she's a great addition, nice to have, close by, she knows the place, she's getting training on the POS, she wants to learn. And so I think she's a good addition to have for our team, especially during the summer months. It seems like bartenders are really sparse lately.
Do you have enough staff? I mean, you only have like 6 people at your meeting this morning.
Yes, I did have 2 that weren't here. And then obviously, you know, Patty's at another full-time job. Lisa is as well. I'm hearing of a Cindy that's supposed to be coming back. To help out, and I've expressed to my staff that, you know, please spread the word. We definitely could use another bartender to help out for the summer, and as well as an additional cook to fill in as needed. So I may end up, you know, just putting on Facebook out there, like, you know, still looking for, you know, very part-time bartender, you know, like, a lot of bartenders will have, you know, more than one bartending job, so it's got to catch that one that just wants a couple extra shifts a month.
You need to concentrate also on, we'd like to get some staff out in the beer garden area.
Yes, and for the patio as well. I actually started, I asked Kim to do this, but I took charge and I started designating areas on the schedules. So I think that in the last 2 weeks I've seen it on Thursdays, there is somebody that's designated for like floor only, and that person doesn't have a till, but they share with the other bartenders, and that person is supposed to be, you know, constantly out on the floor. And I've seen that, so I think that that's working great. It kind of, you know, gives them a place so they don't just kind of not know what to do. So I think that that's really helped as well. And yes, pink is for patio, or no, I can't remember. I think we agreed it's patio. But Yes, definitely. I don't like to see that there's signs up saying that no service, you know, would be nice, you know, just maybe on the weekends, you know, especially like Thursday through Sunday or something, you know, just absolutely having a staff member that's set up for success to the people on the patio.
Can I ask you something? Mm-hmm. How are you going to serve people outside if you don't have a team outside?
If what?
How are you going to bring beers and food outside? You need to come back and do everything on the POS?
Yeah.
Because you might have the option to get a mobile POS when you go over there and get the money right away. That might be an option, I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. That's been kind of another topic, is getting a third POS. you know, and looking at room of where to put it, but purchasing one, I think we would need to believe. I think it would be beneficial having third. That mobile one that's in my office.
That's only for the credit card. It's not
okay,
the whole
point. Okay, I was
going to
say, I don't think that takes orders. Yeah. So, yes, I think definitely, thanks for reminding me too, is that that's something I need to look into, is having enough staff, but you need to have enough of the, you know, POS systems. If you have too many, you know, staff lined up at one POS system, I've seen there, been there, that sucks. So, yeah, maybe that's something we could discuss.
Okay. We talked about handhelds at one time for the ones that were on the patios, that a handheld, and they could do the orders and stuff out there, and even run the cart. Whatever happened to that idea?
We had an iPad for a while, but then they, what do you call it, did an upgrade to the program, and Jake was in and looked at all it. The iPad will not work now.
So
is it
have
this system or
an
was
update.
The system before?
No, it's this system.
It's this system,
yep.
Really?
So the option is to get another iPad.
I would really look into that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely. Is that something that I would call
Sherry?
Portland, about Sherry?
No, call Sherry.
Sherry?
Okay.
But we don't have it anymore?
It's here.
Oh, somewhere here. So we just need to.
I think you're going to need a full iPad, new iPad.
Yeah, that's a great.
Because it did an update or something, and so the iPad's too old.
Okay, so we need to figure that out.
Yeah,
that's excellent to bring up.
So she would need a motion on Patty.
Does that mean a motion for both or just?
I'd do both separate.
Can I ask something? These two persons are related?
Yes. Mother and daughter.
Okay.
And we've lived across the street for 30 years. So I make a motion we accept Patty Miller as a part-time bartender.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. And second motion to have Catherine Miller as a part-time cook.
And a second?
You need a second.
Another second?
I'll give you a second.
All right.
So I do want to chat a little bit about that. We are all under the understanding that you know, these three people related that work here. I have tried to make sure that they know and understand that, you know, it's not, you know, everyone has their place. You know, we had the discussion, you know, Dakota, you're behind the bar, Katie, you're in the kitchen, you know, Patty, you're here. So there's going to be more conversations about that soon, actually tomorrow. And then just so that you guys are aware of, kind of, I don't want to say sensitive topic, but it is a challenge. But I'm going to do my best to make sure that they are well understanding of you're here to do your job as individual employees, and it's not, you know.
Professionalism, that's what we need.
Yes, yes.
And that really says it all right there.
Yeah.
They have to.
So.
So with that, I have a motion and a second for Catherine Miller as a part-time cook at $17 an hour. Vote.
Aye.
Aye.
One of the other things maybe I don't know if Jess made this up. I suggested that I wanted more of a comparison on this.
No, thing. I did this.
This is great. I was going to.
How does this compare to the times when there isn't a food, a cook there?
Well, that we'd really have to get detailed, which we can do. I just ran out of time.
You need to add the cost of goods sold before you sell and get the numbers.
Yeah, food sales on days were good. You've got to minus the food costs out of there because you didn't gross $968.
Because you already have a stock of food that you need to sell. So.
Yeah, you've got to take your cost.
You're trying to see where the profit's at. And that was exactly
deduct the cost of the food for that day?
I think you need to, you need to take it out of the number, I think. Mm-hmm. Because you have a delivery every week, I think it's 2 days or 1 day. Mm-hmm. So all the food you serve to make
3,444,
you need to, how you get to that money? Because you need to get inventory and then you sell and then you get the profit and everything.
Okay. So you really want that much detail?
No. I don't need it.
I'm looking for more of a comparison.
Yes.
When we have a cook, is it being justified? Is there enough hours to just... That's what I was kind of looking for when I asked.
I completely understand that. The thing is if they don't have the cook, then they have to have another bartender. It's getting to that point now.
And bartenders are not cooks. You need someone that's experienced that's going to be cooking the food that we're serving our guests. So I will continually support having a cook because none of the, I don't want to lose any of the bartenders I have, but it's very much supporting them to be out there and getting the sales from the bar when they have someone in the kitchen. That knows what they're doing as far as serving food to our
and what guests. I've seen, Emily, you guys have gone a long way to get to that point.
Thank you.
So it should only improve. But you're right, you got to fill that position with either a bartender or a cook. You don't want to go to the cook or the bartender route.
Right. Anybody, that company, Amy W. said it. She said, if you told me that you weren't getting a cook, I never would have took this position. And she's a great bartender, brand new. So and I said it too, it's just, and they need to be thankful too that we have the support, on the busy Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights. It's kind of a bonus, but it's also, I think people are gonna start, they've been noticing it. The effort that we're making to serve food is being shown. I hope that everybody is seeing that.
Do you want more on this?
I'm just more curious on the cost comparison.
Okay. Because certainly tell me.
No, I don't need it. I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, I am really diligent too about, if it's not busy, I tell Katie and I tell the bartenders, if you're not making food, or have something that you're, I'll leave lists and duties to keep her busy. But I'm very adamant about if you're not busy, you need to leave, And same with the bartenders, because ultimately it's their choice when they're the closing bartender. I feel like it's beginning to work out, but it's brand new, still. Getting up there. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Lastly, I want to talk about the variance report, and everyone has a copy of that. It sounds like we are in some numbers that we haven't been in a long time, and I know I'm still just 4 months into it, but I'm pretty proud to see that. So just to break it down, I guess how's the best way to explain this, Anne? So
I'd ask them if they have any,
right?
No, they only have the front page, but I'd just ask them if they have any questions on it.
Okay, does anyone have any questions on that?
Are we talking about these?
Yes. I was very pleased with it.
I'm pleased with the end result, the total, but yes. It's like, okay, so liquor was over $600, beer was 150 short, wine was a 280 short.
I mean, she can explain that.
Yeah, so okay. Let me break it down for you real quick.
Yeah.
So beer was due to like the reset. I had a lot of old beer. I had a lot of beer that needed to be credited and get discounted. So doing that whole liquor reset, I think that's not bad numbers, considering everything that was swapped out and new product and such. So that's due to the reset. That liquor, that was some Tito's, some cases that were not entered, and I believe that was probably on my part in learning how to correctly enter in when I'm doing incoming invoices. So that's a conversation that just kind of I had. And I think she ended up like knowing exactly.
She does. She's got it in the book. She highlighted. You can come in and look anytime.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. She's great to work with on that. The wine sounds like it was from the Pietella. That was some entered in the back office, but not linked to inventory. Which with that wine, it sounds like it was a big mess. There was a bunch of it gone.
That was a big buy that Diana did last fall. And it was a good buy, good price, but it just didn't move. And it wasn't linked, like she said. You've got your back office and you've got your inventory. And if you don't link it, it's not taking it off.
Yeah, she had just had to remind me, you got to link it.
I'm yeah, like, oh, so it's a big learning curve.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and then some things not like ringing up. Like I have gone through, I think I've made a lot of progress. There's a lot of things, believe it or not, in the liquor store that wouldn't even ring up. So I'm like, what were these guys, what was the staff doing? You know, like, and then flat out, I would go in the back office and look, and there's no UPC. So it was something that simple that just was missed, or, you know, and it could have been something that nobody tried buying in a long time, you know, so you wouldn't have known. That also can mess up inventory. Cigarettes, looks like it's just it was a Marlboro Gold cane that wasn't entered as a carton and rather entered as a pack. I think that's what she had said. Miscellaneous, we had some Uncle Arne's, the THC beverages. I do know personally that I had found 2 4 packs, and I talked to my vendor about it. I made him take it back, and I don't know, I'm still learning as far as like when they do that, if I need to take that out of inventory.
They're supposed to give you something.
Yeah, and I think then I usually go over that with Jess, so she's helping me with that also, but one of the cans, he thinks it's from the THC products being cold, but and then sometimes it's kind of like a fluke where you like lose half the fluid in the can. Billy explained it to me. I can't really relay it back to you. And it's not like it's a bad thing keeping them cold, because all places are doing that now. But he said some occasionally they run into that. So I gave it back and get it credited. It's not missing my whatever budget. And then the clothing, it looks like when I first started, there was a lot, like all the clothing had these colored tags on them. There was peach, pink, gold. I mean, there was a lot of tags that looked very similar, that very much, if a staff member is busy and they're like, is this peach, is this pink? So they probably was just a confusion when reading it in the POS. So. Hopefully we've gotten away with the tags. It's very simple, very clear buttons as far as what you're selling. I've made a list and hung it in the kitchen and addressed it with all staff. This is this much, this is this much, and this is this much.
So, what's your plans going into the summer? You can do anything different than the hoodies or?
Yes, the clothing, it's not my favorite. But So I'm gonna order a couple staff shirts, two for each staff, with their logo on the back and their name on the front that I'm gonna expect them to wear during all our events, you know, like weekends preferably, just to differentiate them from regular customers. So going forward with that. And then I've decided that I'm just going to, with Kim's assistance, go back to just some older designs that I've been seeing on people's shirts that are really nice, and just order some different color t-shirts with one or two older our logos on it, and then a couple kid, Kim says, you know, people are saying a couple kid sweatshirts and stuff. So definitely not as large of an order as we just did with all the hoodies, but also going forward, just when we were talking earlier, had a really good idea, you know, obviously once I'm more getting used to, you know, okay, gotta make sure I'm ordering for summer and doing a little order for fall and winter, you know, like keeping that clothing inventory steady and going and not having it be a big ordeal when I need to get something in. So like having a plan, kind of mapping it out throughout the year, and then just like with whoever vendor I decide to go with, and then just when we're ready to order, all I would have to do is just say, okay, go ahead and make those. So it would be a lot easier.
Let me ask you something. All these issues that you say you guys are having on the first quarter, are you guys dealing with it, or are you guys going to be working on it so next quarter we're going to have better numbers based on
Absolutely. Okay. With more experience and the knowledge of, you know, and also how, like, doing inventory and stuff like that, obviously there's always going to be, you know, some little mistakes here and there, but definitely, even, you know, just when it's something as little as not putting it in the incoming voices the right way.
I understand that. I'm just asking because if you working on it to be better next quarter, that's what I'm basically asking you. But that's all right. I know it takes
time. Ultimately, it should. And this is all new to me, but my understanding is, you know, if you're close to it, definitely much better than it's been in the past. I think just with explaining it to me, you know, you're always going to have some, a little bit of variance.
Oh, yeah.
But yes, absolutely. I'm trying to you know, if I make a mistake and put in something in wrong, now I can actually see how that can affect it. So that's a huge learning process for me. So.
Good.
So that Mary Ann's report there in by the quarter, does that zero out after each quarter?
That's what the variance does.
Yeah.
It corrects your inventory to what you actually have on hand.
So last year in 2024, in first quarter, the variance was -$562. In 2023, it was $299. However, the beer, pop, miscellaneous, and clothing were never counted or varianced. That $299 is only based on liquor, wine, cigarettes, and tobacco. Last year, for the first quarter in 2024, the liquor was $1,240.32. Clothing of -$1,478.95. So looking at the numbers that we have today, it looks pretty good to me. So I don't have anything else, I believe. Thank you for stopping over after the meeting to try it. This morning was very hectic. And I just, I think we're going to go forward with just scheduling CPR classes for the staff. And I wanted you to just kind of take that AED out just to show the employees so that they didn't need to be scared of it.
Right. So, they got to see how it works, open the cover, it talks to you.
Yeah, so that was great. And
good.
Thank you.
The CPR plus, when you get it set, is it going to be open to the public? So
it's on the agenda. I think that'll be up to you guys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Right. Thank you.
All right, now we're into purchasing and personnel with me, and we need to discuss the maintenance supervisor position. We have had two more applications come in. We interviewed two candidates, one of them withdrew. The other was a very strong candidate. I guess I'd like do we feel we would like to interview these other two? They're not real strong on their qualifications.
In my opinion, would you go with the last person we interviewed last Chester, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any want to interview these other two? If not, we can decide as to what we want to do tonight.
I'm happy with it. I think he can just slide right into the position. He's been here before. He's worked for us before. He knows what we have. He knows what our goals are.
Meeting with his goals. You know,
he's got the credentials.
So on that note, let's start piecing together proposal letter for him. One thing I've been told is Man Lake is more than likely going to come back with a counter offer. He said his original offer, he said he would come in at 29. Kind of like to make him an offer that maybe he wouldn't even talk to Man Lake again. He would just say, here I come.
But he hasn't come in and said that.
Yeah, I kind of, wait till we talk to, I think, we need to make him a good offer, but also too, and I have talked to him too. It's close to home. It's got a lot of advantages. He won't be traveling to other states and having to stay for a year or two here or there. He'll be here at home, and he's real happy about that.
And when he came in, he said that he'd be very happy at the 29.
Yep. And he told me that too, and he said that was a good thing.
You can always go up.
Yeah, if Matt Lake makes him an offer, we can always counter offer.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we just set up maybe a counter offer just in case he come up with that question. We have the answer right away, because I think we're going to need somebody for the maintenance right away.
We need it for
roads will need to be graded here tomorrow.
You know what I mean? So we better have that answer right away if he come up with that offer, and then we say we're going to give you this thing.
Well, the thing is, this is recorded. It's going to go online tomorrow, so.
Oh.
Yeah. Maybe you, in doing this, we can, maybe myself, another council member could meet with him, and could we have a little flexibility to make offers?
I think he's going to go to them. So if we make him an offer, he goes to work on Thursday or Friday, inform them, so we wouldn't have a counter offer, or we need to make a counter offer probably until the weekend.
I think you want full transparency, though, so it might require a special meeting.
All right. Well,
this is a big position to fill. I don't want to guide you and then we mess it up.
I agree.
In light of everything.
I'd be open to a special meeting, absolutely. If we need to go there tonight, I think we can make them the offer that that 29 and stuff like that. And then if there has to be, then we could call a special meeting at a later time if we need to. How's that sound?
All right.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay, I'd like a motion.
So I make a motion that we make a proposal to Chester Borcher.
I say that.
Okay, could you give me detail for the motion, though? It's 29 an hour, correct? With benefits.
With benefits, yes.
Perfect, thank you.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, now we're gonna ask for the approval of a feasibility committee members here, and this is to figure out what we're going to do with the fire hall in the fire hall maintenance department and the whole building.
So basically, tonight I'm just looking for a motion to form the committee, and then I think Gary will call a meeting.
Yeah.
All right. On the first note, I make a motion that we accept all 8 people to be on a feasibility committee for the fire hall maintenance building.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So on that note, I've talked to Tom Stover, who's with us tonight, and they're really looking for a scope as far as what direction the council feel we need to go with that building, whether in something along those lines. Randy, you were kind of running that committee as.
Yes, we got to start somewhere. And, you know, we do have that report that what fixes need to be made on that. You look at two different options. One, we're going to update our current buildings, or are we going to go build new, that type of thing. And if we go new, where are we putting it? I would like to see, and it's just initially, that hopefully we can keep that on this parcel, and that would take a lot of the pricing out of what we're looking at to pay for the ground, that type of stuff. So,
I think you guys will come up with, between these 8 people, I know most of them, I don't know all of them, but I think you're going to have a nice wide variety of ideas from everybody and sitting down looking at Bolton and Mink's feasibility study. I'll give you a good handle on.
And they're waiting too, then, once the committee was formed, to do a virtual meeting with them to go over it, go over questions.
So I think I'd like to have a meeting and get everybody to kind of know each other and come together here in the very near future. And then after that, I think we should schedule a meeting very soon after that with Bolton and Mink. Tom?
If I could just clarify one point. I was given a packet from the Bolton and Mink assessment, and that is not a feasibility study. That is just a facility assessment. And there's a big difference between the two. So the facility assessment is just what is the current state of that property. So I know they made a couple of recommendations at the end of it, but this is what you have right now. And that was back in December, and it's now out of date because the boiler system crapped out. So that's just a snapshot of this. So I just wanted to make that clarification, because when you say feasibility study, that's a whole different animal. Where you're trying to, that was just an assessment.
Yeah, I guess I was unaware of the definitions.
Me
of
too.
I used to teach this, that's why I know.
Well, and I was quite kind of disappointed with that so-called feasibility study, because it really didn't tell us anything
It wasn't a feasibility, it was just an assessment. They came out, they walked around, I'm sure they had some input from people, and they assessed the building. They looked at the mechanical systems, just like you would a home inspection. So a home inspection is also not a feasibility study. So the feasibility study is going to give you, here are all your options from A to Z. Here are the potential potential costs. Here's the market analysis on what it's going to take to get there, how you're going to do it. There's 7 major factors that go into a feasibility study. And the assessment is only step one.
Well, I think that is great information.
No,
thank you. I appreciate
all I see is
that.
Cha-ching.
You know, I don't know, I truly appreciate that because I was under a completely, you know, we didn't get a feasibility study according to you.
No, apparently we didn't, but that was what was spelled out when we did hire them.
Right.
Right.
I would just put it there.
And it's still, yeah, it's still good information, but it's not...
Not what I expected.
Not what you expected.
And, you know, I think when we get together and this information is brand new to me, and it's great information, but I think that's where when we get together, we need to get this, and that's what we talk to them about.
The expectation that you should have from your group that's going to do this feasibility studies are give me options. Tell me what the options are. Give me the good, the bad, the pluses, the minuses, and have them make recommendations based on what they're going to look for, though, is with the fire department growing, maintenance is growing, everything is kind of evolving, the building's deteriorating. Do you want them to fix what we have? That's always option one. Fix what we have and just keep going as long as you have to. You know, then you have option B would be is to fix everything and expand it. Then it might be purchase the land across the street long term and you know, somehow do some financing to just move the fire hall first. And then it might be move the fire hall, the maintenance, and then it gets repurposed as a different type of building for the city. So there's all different kinds of options put into a feasibility study.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm seeing is, can we repurpose? Can we restructure? Can, you know, do, at what point do the negatives outweigh the positives? You know, there's cracking on that building, and that was called out under that study. And, you know, and their solution to that was to replace one block at a time. Well, you replace 10% of the blocks, you could have built a whole new wall.
Well, and we're also using it as a storm shelter, but it's block construction that's not filled, which is not good. I mean, you know, it's not a very sound storm shelter.
Right.
And so we're not even purposing that right as it is.
So I think what you're asking is what council's looking for from the committee?
Yeah, if they just have, you know, the cheapest approach is to do nothing. And we just kind of live this along, but knowing that the department's growing, maintenance is growing, and it's only going to get worse over time. You can put Band-Aid fixes on stuff, but at some point, you know, that old of a structure is going to have to be redone with newer, better technology. And if they still plan to use it as a storm shelter, there's better and more effective ways that are to do that as well.
And that's where, yeah, I guess once we have the committee together, there are so many options out there, and I've, you know, you look at one way and then there's another and then there's another. But the one thing we don't have are dollar figures, and I think we kind of need to explore that way to perhaps decide which path we're going to take here. But yeah, this is just a very, very new thing.
And also, just so you're aware, that about 50% of feasibility studies are not correct. I believe it's as high as 47%, but it's because they're using not good data. So garbage in is garbage out. So just keep in mind, and that's why I'm here, because I want to try to help make this committee make the right decisions to be in that, not to be in that 47 percentile. Mm-hmm. So that they're giving you guys the right information that you guys need to make the good decisions that are going to help the community move forward with whatever you decide.
Absolutely, yes. No, this is great information, Tom. Thank you very much.
And I don't want to speak on their behalf, but I think what they're looking for is the committee to come up with the options, aren't you?
Right.
Yeah,
that's
why
they're getting
together. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of where we're at.
Which way should we go?
Yeah, you know, one easy thing would be to say, okay, a new building is going to cost. That's kind of somewhat easier to figure out than what are we going to, you know, to remodel what we've got. that's a little harder number to come up with.
Well, and the scope is going to be very important for this committee because, you know, there's been talk of, you know, they want to move the fire department and maintenance over there and maybe move the city offices over and expand this area into bar, restaurant. And everything I'm hearing, I'm like, wow, this has a very large potential for some incredible scope creep, which is going to make that feasibility study really difficult.
And I think we need to get a hold of that and bring it down and get something manageable there. But at this point, it is a big whirlwind, and that's why I think we need to have some people and talk about it and try to figure out which way we're going here.
Well, and I think if it could be repaired,
that
would be the route I would go.
We have no drains.
For right now, but with a future plan, because the maintenance is getting bigger, and it's not operational the way it is now. There's no floor drains. There's no room for a lot of stuff. The fire department's getting bigger, and we need to keep them up and running.
Bathrooms are not ADA compliant.
There's
all kinds of little things, but they all amount up to big things. And you know, it's a very old structure, and
it is.
At some point, they're going to have to make the decision to do something. But even when you go down that road, you can't do it where it's at because we have to protect the apparatus and the equipment that's in there now. So, I mean, you have to find it. Where do you house that and still run operations out of if you're going to, you know, demo that and redo that? So there's all kinds of issues that come into play for that feasibility study.
Well, and that's exactly it. Do we do it in pieces and parts? Do we do it all at once? That's what I'm trying to get.
Do you want to include the public vote on this? I mean, if it's going to be a major expenditure down the road.
Well, they have to.
To have their buy-in. So how does that work, and how does that come into play for your feasibility study?
Well, and I think we need to have a bit better plan than what we've got right now to present it to the public.
Yeah, this is in the infant stage right now.
I guess that's what I'm kind of, I want to put some heads together, and you have great knowledge, and, you know, we have some really great people here, and try to figure out which way we really need to go, which way do we want to go. Cost is definitely in all of our minds, I think it's an idea right now, and we need to get that idea a little more contained here, you know, and that's what I hope we can do. So, we've done that. We'll get together. I'll come in and I'll try to get a meeting time figured out for everyone and see what everybody.
Is there times that work better for you?
I'll make myself available.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll get that put together and then we'll get a meeting here and see where we go from there.
Soon. Yeah.
All right, so then we've got the classes for all staff, CPR, AED classes for all staff. I think Tony asked about that a little while ago, about opening to the public.
Yeah, I think last 2 minutes ago, I think we said we're going to try to see if allow everybody to go and take it. So, you know, I mean, even if you're part of the community and you're going to do it, you're going to get
I'd like to keep it open as we can. If there's only so many people allowed at a class.
I'd probably be up to the instructor. I did reach out to the league. They tried to help me find, because they had CPR AED certification in Emily in February, and to see if they would do it here. And, yeah, it's not a possibility now, and that was free. So then they put me in touch with a couple of instructors, but I think, and it's the same cost as what you had quoted, so I'm feeling like we should just go with, is his name Rex?
Yeah.
How much was the cost? I can't remember.
Is it 75 apiece?
If you have less than 10 people, it was 85 apiece, and then 75 if there's 10 or more.
Okay. So I would just, yeah.
So would we, if you were a citizen, or I'm assuming that the bar is going to pay for the bar staff,
yep,
and the city is going to pay for the city staff, yep, that want to take it. So with someone from the community,
they'd have to pay for themselves. Or pay the instructor themselves. I mean, unless you want to pay for everybody, but I wouldn't think so. I don't know. Any opinions?
It would be really a nice gesture, but I don't know where we'd get the money. We didn't budget for
no.
Public safety?
Yeah.
Oh?
Public safety.
We haven't used any of that.
Thanks, Jeff.
We've got 18,758.
Well, and do you think we should cap it, though? And not because, just because you don't want 40 people.
Yeah, I guess so. And Rex and his staff.
Okay.
Because you can only, otherwise it's going to take all night long if you have two people teaching 40 people how to do it correctly.
Right.
I could reach out to Rex and see how many people come.
Maybe what he recommends, yeah.
So you got 6 in the car.
Can you try to get a real number from the bartender?
Oh, we'll be over 10.
Last time, I think we had, we ended up only having maybe 10 residents.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, in the past you have made it mandatory, and I think it should be mandatory that all staff take it if they're not certified.
Yes.
So you'll have, you should have, definitely have that 10 amount.
Oh, yeah, that'll be easy.
Yeah, I guess I'd like to see what the largest class they would care to teach. And
so I would just need a motion then for...
All right, I'd like a motion to approve the dedication for all the staff.
Make a motion to approve the CPR and AED classes for all staff, and maybe including some
public people.
Public residents.
Does that include, okay, staff, does that include city council?
Yeah. Okay. So do you have a second, then we can have discussion?
Okay.
We have a motion and a second, all in favor.
Can we have discussion 1 minute, though? Because he said residents.
I'm sorry, I just used residents.
Because no, but that's a big difference. Do they need to be residents of the city, or is this open to anyone?
I think it should be city residents.
City residents.
If we're paying for it, it should be city residents.
Yeah.
If someone wants to come out from somewhere, wants to pay, wants to do the class,
I mean, we have the option, maybe,
as long as they're,
I don't know how long this is going to last, but they hear if we got the option like Emily, what they do for free, anybody can.
Yeah. And I will reach back to the league and ask them to please schedule.
If you follow all of that to see if we can do that free thing next year or something. I don't know how long this is good to, but.
Well, and I'll put you in touch too, maybe, because they actually asked if we would hold classes. They do a class once a month at different places, but it's work safety and different things. But maybe, like, Emily just had a CPR AED only. So if we would be willing to host, was their question. I said, I'm sure we would, but maybe we won't have a building. No, just kidding.
So you're going to split it up too, because I'm just thinking of, you know, the city employees, and then we have a handful of people that are new in our department too.
Okay.
And that community center, that, I mean, that's almost already full just with those people right now. And if you invite the public, it's going to, because you got to get,
okay,
you put mannequins out and everybody's spread out.
25 mats is about all that room can handle.
Oh, then we might be, well. If council does it, and if you open it to planning and zoning, because
that's what I'm saying, we need to
should.
A number, like 20, 25 people, you know.
If we get enough interest, would we want to put on two classes?
Yeah, two sessions.
That's what I'm thinking.
Because, yeah, we can't overload them, you know.
That's up to you guys, sure.
I think we gotta, you know, kind of see who signs up to start with, and then decide if we want a second class, if there's enough interest.
Well, we might have other cities, I don't know, that would send their staff here, and they'd pay for them to be trained, I don't know.
You know, maybe Manhattan Beach would want to join us and pay for their staff to send them up or something, I don't know.
Well, what they want.
Both of them. Both of them. Still eligible.
So do you want the motion to say two classes? Up to?
If the number wants up to two.
Yeah, if there's interest, enough interest.
Two classes at 50 total?
25 each group, that's what you say. You can feed 25 people over there easy, so.
Okay.
225, I think it's gonna be.
Perfect.
I think we find out from Rex on what's his max.
Yeah, we'll see how much he can. Yeah. 20 or 25 or, I think 25
would be more than 25, just for that room and that space is tight.
Well, we did it at the city of Cross Lake in their big council chambers, and we probably had 20 people, and it was perfect, to be honest. Okay,
do we need a vote on that? We have a motion and a second, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, now we need to accept the resignation of Bill Bright from part-time maintenance.
We have a motion to accept the resignation of Bill Bright.
Second.
We have a motion and a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we have one addition here that we've been wanting our lawyer to review the employee handbook. What we've been wanting to get a quote as to how much time it may take, and I think he's gotten back to us with that now.
Mm-hmm. 175 is what he gets an hour, and he said it'd be about 3 hours. We're looking at 5 1/4.
So for $525, we could have our lawyer review our employee handbook, and if he needs to make any revisions or changes, that of course would be more money. But at this point, just to make sure we got a good handbook.
Do we know if we need to add something or take something out of the handbook before?
It's been redlined by the past attorney, so he's just going to go through all the red lines and see if they were correct on what they were recommending.
I would also like to propose that the lawyer look at or give us direction. Randy, maybe you've got some input on this. Can you bring up that North Eagle Lake Road on your...
I can try. Can we get a motion on this first?
I'll make a motion that we have our city attorney look at the employee handbook.
I second.
Have a motion and a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, now you want GIS?
Here's another kind of major issue that goes back to roads, but after talking to Bethany, it actually is a question that needs to be proposed to the lawyer first. We've got a couple of different roads in this city that we don't have an easement on. Yes, we can take it over, meets and bounds. We've been taking care of these roads for the last 40 or 50 years, but they're not designated, or if you look at a plat, plats always have a line where the road is designated. Bethany ran into this on one.
Is it North Eagle? I'm sorry.
North Eagle Lake Road, yep. Zoom in on any part of that. No, right there. Go again. Pick a spot, go more towards the eastern part.
Oh, the creek?
You don't need to go that far. Zoom in on just this area right here. Or this kind of shows it. See, there's no designated area for the road. Now, if you just slide this slide down, now just go to the south side of the lake. Just slide it. No, south. You're going in too far. But it, as you see, there's no designation for the road. If you now just slide it straight up to look at Hidden Lake Road or Shamrock, and across the bay, trying to scroll it up. Oh, stop right there. And here again. Nope, that's fine. You're fine there. See the way this is designated? For easement? That's designated. So now if they're going to build, we have a starting spot to where the 25-foot setback starts for a garage house construction. If you recall the north side lake, this double line showing where the roads existed doesn't exist. You follow where I'm going with this?
It's on platted.
Nothing's platted for the road. This road is platted in. And it's going to, it's also the same problem as on north, or not north.
West
of Fox Lake Lane. So my proposal is anytime there's going to be a, we don't want these people to do it all at one time, but if they're going to do a land transfer, the land comes up for sale, generally you have somebody come out and put the post in the ground, we would like these people to start designating where the road is. If there's any change of ownership on each lot, there becomes, if this doesn't exist, we want them platted, them to incur the cost of having them plat in the road.
Well, yeah, Bethany called it a prescriptive easement.
Prescriptive easement. So the designated prescriptive easement would, over time, eventually, things we would have our roads platted in.
And
I don't know how old the plat
is. This the only, is this the only one that we have a problem with?
No, West Fox, there's an issue. And I believe there's also an issue on...
Ensclaw? Is that a problem down at the end?
I don't know. I haven't looked at all of them. But I know this one, West Fox, and then I think it's Emerald has issues. There are not, most of them have them. But just for the ones that don't have them, it's like we're running into issues. Because Bethany called me or sent me an email 2 weeks ago. Hey, where do I measure the road from on North Eagle Lake Road? It's like, good question. We opted, I told them, I'll just go and find the closest one, measure to there, and tell them that that's about, what it involves is about 33-foot carway. We're not going to ask for 66 feet, but if we go 33 feet consistent all the way through there, that should be...
Give us a measure.
And then, builder beware, because the plow does come through at 30 miles an hour and throws that snow another 20 feet. That's why we have the 20-foot setback on there.
Well, it's the cul-de-sac, that's for sale, the land there, where the cul-de-sac is.
On North Eagle?
Yeah, there's another one.
So that resident or a prospective buyer emailed and wanted to know if we have an easement as a city or if that's privately owned. And it's privately owned. But Bethany said that's where the council would have to get the city attorney involved because that's where you're, and if anybody knows anymore... chime in, it's the prescriptive easement. I mean, we've maintained it long enough where the city probably, you'd have to involve Tom and have him review this and gain or get prescriptive easements recorded. That's how I understand it.
Is this something, if we just do it on people when they transfer the property, some of those places may not get done in our lifetimes because I know at least two or three of those have been on their second and third generation already. So that there wouldn't happen, but several of those flip every 5 years.
Right.
And we need to have, okay, here's our 33 feet we've got on this one. Then we'll get, maybe 20 years later we get this one, or 5 years later we get that one.
To make a motion on this? Or
I just want to
I think it's, I'll just give him a phone call and see.
I just would, it's another question I'd like to propose to the lawyer. Can this, should this be done, or do we just take a meets and bounds, but then again, eminent domain, if we just take it over eminent domain, which we already have a title to, we could do that. But I'd rather the residents just put that in rather than us creating the cost of having all of the roads platted. When we take it over eminent domain, we're just thinking with that we gotta go through and have it all.
I think it's worth getting Tom's opinion.
Post to the end, you know, yeah. There's going to be a cost to it, I imagine, but if we pass it on and have the residents do it
as it goes,
per property transfer,
then it's a lot less painless for everyone involved.
And in the city, otherwise we have to go through there and put a post every, 50 feet for, what is that road, 6/10 of a mile?
Right.
Well, that should theoretically reduce their property tax because you're reducing their footprint of their property, so. That's where their buy-in is going to be.
That's our selling point.
Yeah, so I think...
I'd just like to see that question.
Yeah, I think we...
I'll include that when I get him on the handbook, that we do have this issue.
Okay, unfinished business. Anything?
I just want to say I forgot under the elections that the office will be closing this Thursday at noon because I have to go down and get the equipment tested for Tuesday's primary. And then again, 2 weeks, then I'll have to do it again. So.
So you have to get it cleared for the primary and then again for the election?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is kind of throwing us for a loop. So we will be here on the 15th from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. and then go take everything to the county. And then again on the 29th.
All right, everybody going? Anybody have anything?
We make a motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.